Hi folks, TGIF, you know what that means, that it's time for the Friday cigar. And partly to drive away the maddening pounding here as they're adding another foot of concrete to our already incredibly fortified bunker, but it's not fortified enough. So we're adding some concrete, celebrating here another week of closer to our being with the Lord forever. That sounds like a good thing to me. It's hard for us to imagine that it can happen, but it's going to happen. And a couple individuals have seen it happen, namely the Apostle Paul and John, the disciple who wrote the book of Revelation. I was telling you earlier this week, I believe, about the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And I couldn't find that passage, but boy, am I glad I found this passage. Wait till you read this. This is awesome. And then I'm going to take you to 2 Thessalonians after we go here, because 2 Thessalonians is the strongest verse I know of. 2 Thessalonians, namely chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Yeah, there's the pneumatic drill. No, that's not a dentist's office in the bunker. We don't have a dentist's office. That's a pneumatic drill poking holes in the existing walls and expanding them. Just as a precaution. So listen to this. I am in Colossians chapter 1. Paul talks about all endurance and patience. It sounds like large termites. It's possibly large termites, but I don't think so. The locusts aren't here yet, are they? No, we're not going to see the locusts. Okay, it's definitely the drill. At the same time, giving thanks to the Father, listen to this, verse 12 of Colossians 1, who makes you competent for a part of an allotment of the saints in light. We have an allotment together, all of us in the body of Christ in light, right? We're going to be taken to a place where it's always sunny. Now that sounds juvenile. I don't mean this to be a Sunday school teaching, but darkness is only temporary. Do you think darkness is what we're coming into? Oh no, my friends. We're coming into light. We're coming into a time where there is no two-part day. And because there's not going to be any need for sleep, and some of you are very depressed about that. You love to sleep. It's your favorite time of day. I understand that, but we're going to be rejuvenated from within. Our bodies are going to be as the stars of heaven that have their own source of life and light within them. And even on the new earth, when the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, it's going to have no need of the sun or the moon, because the glory of God is going to illuminate it. So what does he do now? That's then, Martin. I need help for now. This is what he does. He rescues us out of the jurisdiction of darkness. Now, honestly, that sounds really bad. That's a hell of a drill. But they're doing the job. We paid them a lot of money, and they're doing it. So I'm happy about that. He has rescued us out of the jurisdiction of darkness and transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we are having the deliverance. That's where I get the now thing. We are having the deliverance. Now, obviously, folks, he has not literally at this hour transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, but we are too, by concentrating, by thinking about these things in our minds, we are to anticipate this as much as we are able to anticipate this wonderful day when we will actually be transferred. But in the meantime, we're having the deliverance, the pardon of sins in Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. Remember, I told you that we are in the world, but not of the world. If Satan, I've told you this many times, if Satan is this far from you, God is closer. If Satan is within an inch of you, God is within a half inch. So you cannot escape this bubble, this sheen of protection that we have in Christ. And it's a kingdom of the Son of his love. This is going to hold sway literally in actuality during Aeon 5, when God dwells with humanity and there's no more death on the earth. But we can anticipate that in spirit by thinking about it, by occupying ourselves with it. Paul says, whatever things are lovely and pure and of good reputation, think on these things. And I know it's hard to do, but you have to repeat these things to yourself. I told you the other day, repeat to yourself, I'm a slave of Christ. Christ is the one dictating my days, dictating my activities, my thoughts. And so let us also think of that we are currently rescued out of the jurisdiction of darkness. This means that Satan can't do anything to you unless God, not, you thought I was going to say allows it, but you know I hate that word. God doesn't allow things. He causes things. Satan cannot do anything to you unless God first orders it as the best thing for you, but it can only dribble through. I'm going to stick with that word. I like it. It doesn't sound spiritual. Yeah, dribble through. I like it. It can only dribble through what God lets, what God causes Satan to do for your life, okay? You're not going to be washed in a bath of satanic. It can't happen. There are no members of the body of Christ being possessed by Satan. Can't happen. We're delivered. We're rescued out of that jurisdiction. We're in it, but not of it. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Now we have it in spirit. It's a very, but not to say it's not practical. Not to say it's not practical. Because it is practical. It's not theoretical. He is greater than Satan. Be assured of that. Rest in it. But someday we will be actually transported to the kingdom of the Son of His love. Okay. Now, I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to close out the week here because this is such a great passage of assurance that you will not be here when all hell breaks loose. Starting with verse 3, Paul says to the Thessalonians who are suffering great persecution, we ought to be thanking God always concerning you, brethren, according as it is meet, seeing that your faith is flourishing. How about that? Why does Paul say faith is flourishing? Because faith is an assurance of things which are not being seen. We're not now seeing our deliverance, but we have faith in it to the point that we're enjoying it. Okay? Do you see that? It's coming to a realization. If I encourage you to realize something, it means that that thing hasn't happened yet. Because if it happens, you won't need to realize it, will you, when it happens? So your faith is flourishing, and the love of each one of you for one another is increasing, so that we ourselves glory in you in the ecclesias of God. Paul bragged to all the other churches about the faithfulness of those in Thessalonica. For your endurance and your faith, there's the faith again, the assurance of things which are not being observed, your faith in all your persecutions and the afflictions which with you are bearing. They're bearing afflictions, and they're bearing under it with the help of the information Paul is giving them, namely that they're rescued out of the jurisdiction of darkness, rescued out of it. Although I admit that letter comes later in Colossians, but I'm sure privately Paul told the saints that they were in God's care. They were sealed with the Spirit, and Satan could not do anything to them apart what God wanted to happen for their expedience, for their edification, for their good, for the privilege of suffering evil, for the sake of the evangel, which is a great privilege graciously granted us. That would be Philippians 1:29. All right. A display of the just judging of God to deem you worthy of the kingdom of God. Now, all these trials that we are undergoing are working for us a great, great glory. And so that's why you should thank God for them. Although, believe me, I know how hard this is to do. I try to practice it myself whenever I can. Sometimes I can't, and then I just trust God. Okay, I can't do this today. Can't work up it, work it up. Can't work up the mind to be gracious about this. And so you just endure it. Endure means to remain under. You just flat out suffer. But this is what God's going to do. If so be that it is just of God to repay affliction to those afflicting you. God is going to pay affliction to those afflicting you. And it's going to happen. This is, if you want this to comfort you, go ahead. God is going to repay affliction to those afflicting you. When? During the tribulation, during the days of indignation. Because they're not in the body of Christ, therefore they're not rescued out of the jurisdiction of darkness. Their salvation remains for a future day. It's going to happen, but it's in a future day. It's not now. And he's going to deal out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God through no fault of their own. We're not assessing blame here. We're just saying that God is responsible for it, and he did not reveal himself to them. Nevertheless, those who are not acquainted with God will be finding out about God during a more troubling time. This is a great day to receive the salvation of the message of the salvation of Christ. But in that day, it's going to be forced upon you. And really, at the great white throne, there's going to be even more force. God is going to bring everyone to faith. He does it through different means. Us now, them later. And these folks are going to incur the justice of aeonian, not eternal, as the common versions say here in verse 9, aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his strength. Now, listen to this next verse and tell me if this is not the coming indignation. From the glory of his strength, whenever he may be coming to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at in all who believe, seeing that our testimony was not to you, was not believed in that day. So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be revealed from heaven with his powerful messengers, verse 7. What is that if not the day of indignation? And you with us, Paul says, you along with us will be having ease on that day. On the same day that Jesus Christ returns from heaven to in flaming fire dealing out vengeance, i.e. the tribulation, the book of Revelation, at that time you will be having ease with us at the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul quotes the name of the book here in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. At the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be having ease with us. That is your assurance that you will not be here. But I say, since we're the rare generation to see these things coming and these great events transpire, let's find out about it what we can, not so that we can be disquieted, but so we can see through it and have an ultimate peace.